Exodus in chapter 35. I'd invite you to turn there in your Bible if you brought a Bible with you today. Exodus in chapter 35. Selected readings from that chapter and also chapter 36. Chapter 35, verse 4. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart. Let him bring in an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair, and the ram skins, dyed red, and badger skins, and cedar wood, and the oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil, and sweet incense, and the onyx stones, and stones to be set for an ephod, and for the breastplate. And every wise-hearted among you shall come, and make all that the Lord hath commanded. The tabernacle, verse 12, the ark, 13, the table, 14, the candlestick, 15, and the incense altar, 16, the altar of burnt offering, 17, the hangings of the court, 19, the cloths of service, to do service in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest and garments for his sons, to minister in the priest's office. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came everyone whose heart was stirred him up, and everyone who had the spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all its service and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered, offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. Verse 30. And Moses said to the children of Israel, See, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and hath filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold and silver, and in brass, and in the cutting of stones, to set them, and the carving of wood, to make any manner of cunning work. Chapter 36. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary. And they brought it unto him, free offerings, every morning. And all the wise men that brought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses made commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, Let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from giving. Let's bow for just a moment. Father, thank you for the day that you've given us today, opportunity to gather in your name. Thank you for the occasion. We thank you for faithful people in our lives. Most of all, we thank you for your word, because we, as weak human beings, need a portion of faith day by day. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, not a long sermon, but something maybe of an anthology of what went on in the building of the Grimsley building. The portion we read of Scripture comes at the end, toward the end of the Exodus. God has redeemed His people, rescued them out of Egypt after 400 years of bondage. They've crossed through the Red Sea. They're in the wilderness. And there in the wilderness, they've come to Mount Sinai. God has given them the tablets. He's given them the law. And now He begins to speak to them about building for Him a dwelling place. something that had never been done before. The dwelling place, the tabernacle, prefigured the church in God's coming in a special way to indwell the gathering of His people gathered together in praise, but also prefigures the indwelling of the Holy Spirit coming in to our lives and directing our bodies and our lives in His service. With that in mind in the background, think with me for just a few moments about tackling a tabernacle in terrible times. Moses' times that this was going on was a terrible time, you might say, for building a tabernacle. They had just escaped from 400 years of bondage and slavery, 400 years of poverty. There they were in the desert, without any means to make a living, you might say, without any crops, without any resources. All they brought out were their herds. And they're out there like that in a wilderness, in a desert. In a desert, not only without resources, without ongoing income, in a desert surrounded by hostile neighbors. That was a terrible time to build a building, all those things against them. We began to construct this library annex that we're naming the Grimsley Building, and we'll introduce Brother Grimsley in just a little while. Began to work on that building in terrible times. The last 2 years have been extreme times of financial stress in the United States and around the world. I would imagine that nobody here would say that this is not a strenuous time financially. But through all of that, all of these tremendous financial events that are going on around us today, God was still on His throne. He was able to accomplish what He wanted to be accomplished. That building out there, the idea is not a place just to aggrandize somebody's name or a group of ladies. The principle is we're dedicating a building for the service of God's people in His kingdom. Why did Moses build? Moses built because God said, there's a time. I'm going to have a place. I'm going to have a special presence among my people. And you're going to do this for me. That was the why of Moses' day. The why of our day for a new building is that in the wisdom of God's people over 50 years ago, they started this campus. And then in the mid-70s or so, they built a new library over there. Now, if you're in a school or associated with a school or looking at schools for support or to attend, you need to always realize there is an issue of accreditation. And if you're looking at a school or a ministry support in the idea of education, there are two names you won't remember. The Southern Association of Colleges and Schools and the Association of Theological Schools. Those two names are important. Thankfully, our schools here in Jacksonville College, Lon Morris, and also BMA Seminary, have accreditation that means something. Many times you look at other institutions, you might think may be a somewhat of a fly-by-night institution. And if it's in the South and it doesn't have those two sets of initials after it, you can be sure that you ought to be a little bit skeptical at the very least. Along those lines, if you're going to have those credentials to be recognized with the universities of the South, there has to be an ongoing renovation and expansion of your library resources. The library that was began back in the 1970s was designed to hold 48,000 volumes. At this present time, there are over 120,000 items that were in the library we started to build. That's the why of the new building. The other why, there are two whys. Across the BMA work around the world, we've had our graduates go out at different times. They've inaugurated the different Bible institutes that we have in foreign countries. Through the years, through the decades, these men have instructed others to the point, the national workers to the point, that they are beyond Bible Institute work now. They need to have higher education, be trained so they can be their own teachers in the days to come. The front part of the new library annex is a video conferencing room. And you'll see in there later on how it is connected to the internet in for the purpose that we can broadcast our missions office in Little Rock, also in the future, hopefully to our Bible Institute in Africa, also the Philippines, and we've already had a class with our Bible Institute in the country of Costa Rica. Those are the two whys of that new building. That's why it was built. But there are other similarities besides just having a why to Moses' day. You'll notice there, as I read through that passage, that a recurring refrain was that people had willing hearts, or that they were stirred in their hearts. When God gets ready to build a building, you might say, He has to stir people's hearts. He has to move on cold hearts at times. He moves at times on ready hearts to provide the means. And you'll notice there in that passage I read, it says it wasn't just men, it wasn't just leaders, also the women of the group that got together. We're happy that Brother Grimsley's heart was moved several months ago. And out of his generosity, out of what the Lord had blessed him with, he gave the foundational gift for that building. But while that was going on, there was a group of ladies also, our women's missionary auxiliary. Several of our guests here today are from that group. Along the way, they adopted that front room, the equipment for that room, for broadcasting and training preachers of the gospel around the world. For their project that year, they raised the money to equip that room. So when God gets ready to do something, He moves people's hearts. Men and women's hearts. At the same time, you'll notice in the fundraising for that building in Moses' day for his tabernacle, they didn't borrow money. They didn't ask people to give on a long-term contractual basis. So much money, so many people giving so much money for so many months, and it all comes together. How did it come together in Moses' day? God moved people's hearts, and rather than making long-term commitments of borrowing resources, what did they do? They went home, and they looked at their gathered resources, their assembled assets, what they already had, and they brought a portion of what God had already blessed them with to the building of the tabernacle. They gave from their excess. When this building began with the foundational gift and the work of the ladies of the WMA, we also challenged our trustees at the time, our administrators. We challenged our local associations of churches across three states and individual churches to look at their budgets, what they had left over in their bank accounts at the end of that particular month. And rather than making a long-term commitment, just to look at what they had after they had paid all their bills and send us an offering from the excess. And after God moved on individuals' hearts, the auxiliary's hearts, the churches and associational hearts, God accomplished what He wanted accomplished. In Moses' day, at the end of that project, you'll notice there at the ending of that scripture passage, the men came as they had started to build. The men came to Moses that were in charge of the building, and they said, the people are still bringing offerings, and they have brought more than enough. And the people had to be restrained from giving. When this project began, we began with the idea or the thought, prayer, that there would be no encumbrance of any kind on that building. And when those things began to come together, when God had moved on people's hearts, when we turned the first shovel of soil, all the money was already there. and I appeared at our local association, the National Association meeting last year, and happily announced to our churches the same thing that Moses did. The people need to stop giving to that project. God has blessed. At this particular time in the history of the school, there is no debt of any kind anywhere against any of our property. Totally debt-free. All because of people, God moving on people's hearts. Also in that group, there was a why it needed to be built. There's a way that it was financed, but also there were people that came into play. You'll notice there also, as I was reading in chapter 35, that God put the wisdom and the skill into a couple of men's hearts. And then they helped train some other men. It says that God also gave them wisdom. In my limited experience of the past, I've been participating in building three or four houses. But I have never been involved in building a commercial building from the ground up. And I found out there's a lot of things that I didn't know. But thankfully, at our church, the First Baptist Church here in Jacksonville, had Brother Cecil Pond in our Sunday school class. And after scratching my head for several months trying to figure out how to get around all the dead ends that I had run across, I looked up in Sunday school one Sunday morning, looked over there, and there was Cecil Pond. I kicked myself under the chair. There was a man, a deacon in our church, that was a retired commercial builder. Built these large school buildings across the street from our campus. And began to talk to Brother Cecil. He began to give me the right ideas to help us get down the path a little bit farther. Connect us with Mr. Barm, help be our architect. And things did begin to come together. After it began to come together at that particular time, again, remember, it was terrible times financially in the financial system of the world at that particular time. Even though we had the money, it seemed that our local contractors all around us were leery of starting a project. That particular size of project, it's not small and it's not large. It's sort of an in-between kind of job. And at that time, men, the contractors, were having a hard time getting interim financing and different kinds of things like that. And for many of the larger people, larger builders, it wasn't a building that was big enough of a project to interest them. Now I began to wonder, who in the world are we going to get to do this? People didn't really want to look at the job, it seemed like. And then one day I walked into chapel, sat down here for a chapel service, and I noticed one of our students, a new student that come over from Waco, Texas. He's a member of the church we have over at Beacon Hill Church in Waco. And as I looked at him, I remembered where he came from, and then it dawned on me that the pastor of that church was also owner of a large commercial building concern, Reggie Blake. H.B. Blake Company in Waco, Texas. And after hitting all those dead ends, called Brother Blake. He said, I'll be glad to take it on. And I'll do it. And Mr. Blake, beyond just taking it all with no markup to him, donated all the windows and doors and all the installation of those things. I guess we're going to have one lesson today. It's that when you have to tackle the tabernacle in terrible times, if it's God's will, God will stir people's hearts to bring the resources. And He'll give people wisdom and skill to get the job done. And indeed, God has finished the project for us today. I'll ask Dr. Harmon to come. There are other trustees to come up here with us. And Brother Roy Grimsley, if you'd come, please. Brother Grimsley was associated years ago with one of our trustees, Dr. Ralph Brand. And through Dr. Brand's influence, Brother Grimes became interested in school where Dr. Brown was a trustee. And after several years of being very generous with the school, he was able, at that particular time in his life, God moved his heart to give the foundational gift for that new building. And when I asked Dr. Harmon if he'd come, with all the superior president, he'd come and give the dedicatory prayer for that new building.
Let's bow our heads. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the way that you are blessing this seminary. And Father, I'm so thankful that when there was a distinct need, that our president did not have to become a beggar and beg people to give. He simply acquainted them with the need. You stirred the hearts of those that gave, and they gave more than enough to build a building. I'm so proud, Father, that we live in a time when you're still God, and that we don't have to be beggars to try to get your work done on earth. We dedicate the new building to you, Lord, because while we are not in debt to man, we're totally in debt to you. It was built for your honor, for your glory. And Father, through your foreknowledge, only you know how many young pastors will be trained and dispersed throughout the world as missionaries, evangelists, and pastors of local churches. Thank you so much that in the world of technology, the seminary is on the cutting edge. And now with our media capability, we can have distance learning and are having distance learning take place to the uttermost parts of the world where native indigenous pastors can be taught by our professors at this seminary your word and then teach others. Father, if you do not return before, it's good to be a part of something that's bigger than ourselves. And this new building, with its function, with its mission, is bigger than ourselves. Thank you again for being so gracious to us. I invoke your blessings upon each person here and ask that your benedictions go with us all as we return home. I pray in the name of Jesus, because that is the sweetest name I know. Amen.
Amen. Brother Grimes is going to keep building to our trustees.
Well, I really feel unworthy but honored by the fact that you were led to put my name on it. But the Lord blessed to the extent that I could help. I'm thankful for that. And I just pray that the building will be used in the education of the men and women that come through it, so that they can put God's work throughout the world. And I pray that everything is done will bring glory to His name. So I present you this key.